Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in and honoring our Lord by studying His Word. I'm glad we can all come together around God's Word. The world is getting to where it don't want any, it's been that way, doesn't want anything to do with God and don't want anything to do with God's Word, and it's not welcome anymore, so we'll just let them go about their way and however they want to do, and if they don't want God, He don't want them. He is not happy that they're not going to accept His Son as Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they don't want to have anything to do with Him, and God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the Lord is not going to step on anybody's will and demand that they accept Him. If they don't want Him, He's going to let them go about their way, and their way is not a good way, and that's what we're going to talk about today. As a matter of fact, it's worse than not a good way. It's a terrible way. It's all the condition that we was once in before the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. Before the Lord called you out of that mess and woke you up and regenerated you, and now you're a child of light, the Bible calls us. So praise the Lord for that. Now, we're just going to recap just a little bit because I think we're going to be able to finish this study up. We've talked about just about what we need to as far as fundamentals, and what I mean is elementary stuff concerning what God says about death. I don't think there's much more to know. I want to know what's happening to me and where I'm going and how I'm going to get there and who's in charge of it. And we've talked about all that. And I'm content. If I was to die today or if I, however the Lord chooses, I hope that I would be pleasing in His sight to finish right. And that's important, brothers and sisters, with your walk, is that you finish being in the body and finish serving the Lord here right. Finish right. Okay? And give the Lord a piece of your life that's not all broken up with sin and ungodliness and worldliness. Give the Lord a consistent piece of your life that you can reach up and hand to Him and say, Lord, this part of my life was dedicated to You, and give that to Him for a gift. And finish this life, finish this mortal life that we have in a right way. Amen? So we're going to recap a little bit, and we're going to get into today's study. And hopefully, whether we do or whether we're not, I think we're going to finish it. So just to recap, we began talking about death. That's what we're talking about, is death. And death is something that every human being is interested in, whether they admit it or not, or whether they talk it down or make light of it and make fun of it and everything else and with their foolishness. And but in their deep, deep, deep compartment in that treasure chest, there's a little question mark in there that they need answered. And they're searching. And I believe every decision that a person makes in their entire life, even the ones that are trying to forget death, but everybody, when you make a decision, when people make a decision, that is one of the hidden parts that that has to do with which way you go with things and how you do. Death is a binding thing in the minds and the hearts of people. It causes them to make decisions and make right decisions and make wrong decisions. And if you don't know the truth about what death is and what the Bible has to say about death, anything can happen. And people make all kind of crazy decisions depending on what they've been taught about death. Death is not a bad thing for a Christian. We talked about death and what the world has to say about death and the definitions of death and the definition of the word dead. Both are scriptural words. They're in the scriptures. Jesus spoke both of those words out of his own mouth in the New Testament. Jesus spoke the word death in the New Testament 23 times, I think. 23 times. And it's written in the book of Revelation 17 times. And Revelation is how things are going to end up. It's the future. And everything, the past, the future, and everything. But Jesus, he spoke the word dead 35 times. And it's written 16 times in Revelation. So the Bible is not ashamed of the word death. The Lord speaks about death, and he says it's an enemy that's going to be defeated. It's the last enemy that's going to be defeated. That the Lord says, after death is defeated, and the Lord said the last enemy to be defeated is death. And when death is gone, there's nothing else to worry. There's nothing else that can be worried. We're not going to worry about nothing whenever we go to be with the Lord, and we're not worried about it now. But as far as eternity goes, when the Lord gets rid of death, things are back like he wants them. Back like he wants them. We talked about the death of the saints and what death is described as for the saints, and as far as sleeping in Jesus, remember? And it's blessed. It's also it's a gain. For a Christian to die is a gain, and the Bible says that very clearly and very plainly, and it's a blessing to die in the Lord. And the Bible says it's precious unto the Lord when one of his saints dies, when one of his children dies. The Bible says that it's a peace. It's a peace. Now, how is a terrible thing that the world implies that death is such a terrible... I mean, in all their movies and all their plays and all their poems and all this, that, and the other, everything talks about death. But there's no peace in their death. Nobody talks about peace as far as death. The world has no idea that death is peaceful. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says the righteous perisheth. And no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. And it's talking about peace. Not only is it peace, but it's a crown of righteousness, the Bible says. Death is described as a crown of righteousness. We know that over in Timothy, Paul wrote about that. And another thing that we spoke about death for the saint, for the Christian, is that some people in there that exemplify death. We looked at some people in the Bible that died and how they died and what happened to them at death and what happened to their body and what happened to them. And every one of them lined right up just as sweet as could be. And we didn't see any terrible things about their deaths. They're not dead. They died, but they're not dead. That's what the word death is. The word death is peace. It's sleeping in Jesus when it comes to the body. And it's to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we see every person that we looked at in the scriptures, the same thing happened to them, whether they, no matter how they died, like Elisha, he died of a sickness, remember? And Enoch was not, because he was translated, I believe it said. And we see all the examples, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Save that thief on the cross, remember? And just before the Lord died and all the agony that he was going through and bearing mankind's sin, he told that thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And he was. But that body stayed on that cross till they, after they broke his legs and he left that body and went to be with Jesus, they took that body down and buried it. Whatever, it doesn't say what they did with it, but they took it down and buried it. Whatever they did with a thief's body. They thought that he was ungodly, that he was a problem with society, and that he was a thief, and we're going to kill him. And that's what the Romans did. They killed him and executed him. But Jesus saved him. His body went back to the grave, and it went to sleep. And praise the Lord for that. We talked about the death of the wicked. We got into that and talked about the death and the result, that death is a result of sin. And death was, that included us until the Lord saved us and we were regenerated. That don't count anymore. Now, you go out sinning and playing around with sin, you're going to pay for it. Because first thing is that the Lord is going to whip your hind in. And you're not going to like that at all, because he carries a big strap and he knows right where to hit you with it. And you will feel it. He says, I'll meet you face to face. The Lord don't come around a corner like he's scared of you, or that he don't know what's going on. The Lord knows everything that you're up to. He knows the thoughts of your heart and knows why you're thinking it. Amen. Best thing to do is just stay right and stay pleasing to your Heavenly Father and do the things that are pleasing in His sight and live a good life. And then die the right way and go on to be with the Lord. And we'll wait on our new bodies. But death for the wicked is different. It is the result of sin. And when they die in their sin, the Bible says. And if they die in their sin, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. The death of the wicked is often punishment. It's not just often punishment. It's talking about often as far as being in the body and being in this world. But when they go into eternity, it's not often punishment. It's eternal punishment that we're going to talk about today. Eternal punishment. Not eternal, not the Lord didn't say eternally in the lake of fire, eternally in hell in the lake of fire, eternally with your friends. In the, he didn't say that. He said eternal punishment. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Lord said. They're going there to be punished. And to be punished for eternity. I don't know how people don't get that. That scared the daylights out of me. Still scares the daylights out of me. When you start thinking about souls and you look at a person in the face and you see their soul back behind them eyes, it's going somewhere. The body's going to die. And it's going to go back to the dust just like God said. But that soul's going somewhere. Whether you want to think about it or not, it is. And when you bump shoulders with people and all the people, I mean, you go most of unless you're some kind of big shot, most of us going to die only knowing a very, very few of the amount of, 9 billion or 8 billion people on the planet now. Most of us going to die only knowing a very small percentage of the people that are on this earth. You're going to die having not known and not met and not spoken to more people than the ones you bump shoulders with and that are in your vicinity or in your area or in your family or in your friend, what do you call it, contacts? But the ones that you do have conversation with and converse with and even the ones that you see every now and then, the people that are in your life, they're going somewhere. God said that if they're not saved and they die in their sin, they're going to hell, and that the Lord's going to resurrect them and sentence them to the lake of fire with a just and righteous sentence. It's not going to see if they can get out of it. They're already guilty. They're going to a sentencing. The Bible says that the death of the wicked is unpleasant to the Lord. The Lord's not pleased with them dying like that and people choosing to go and for him having the punishment, him having to punish them. God don't want to punish nobody, but he will. You ever punished your children? If you punished them the right way, you didn't like it. You didn't want to punish them, but you had to. You had to. And there's truth in that. And when you punish a child the right way and you correct a child the right way, you don't want to do it. But you do it because it's right and you love them. And to a lot of people, that don't make sense, especially the old rotten rules that this government's coming up with now and all this foolishness. And they see these children going wacko and stupid and everything else, but they sure ain't going to let them Bible rules come back in. If they did, it'd straighten a whole bunch up in a hurry. They'd rather put up with all the garbage and work around all the garbage and the killing and the stupid and the perversion and just all the craziness in this world rather than getting things right. And honoring the Lord and honoring His Word. Definitely, we'll do anything that we have to do to keep God out. That's what it is now. The death of the wicked is without hope. It's without hope. Then we went into another category talking about death natural. Natural death. The death of the body. Not the death of the soul. Well, it's a consequence of sin we talked about, and that it's the lot of everybody. Unless the Lord chooses not for you not to go through death, which is an exception, and there are exceptions, and if the rapture happened, there's going to be a whole bunch of them because we're out of here. But if the Lord does not come before your body wears out, then it's going back to the dirt. And it's everybody's body's going back to the dirt. Unless the Lord makes an exception. But the rule is, you're going to die. Death naturally. That body's dying. And if you can't look in the mirror and see that every day or every year, I mean, that's one thing that people, when they start getting older and older and older and older, the older you get, the more you realize that what you thought didn't think about when you was young is coming to pass. Things are winding down. And all these idiots running around talking about how they're getting better and better and better and better and better. I don't know how they stand themselves when they go look in the mirror in the evening, every evening. They got to know they're lying to themselves. You're getting prettier. You're getting uglier. You're wrinkling up. Your body's dying. And if you're an unsaved person and not regenerated and you haven't been born again, I could see why you're looking for an excuse to lie to yourself and deceive yourself. Because where you're going, buddy, or missy, you ain't going to like. And you got to find some way to keep that body alive. Because when that body dies, you're going to exit that body. And you're going somewhere, and you know where you're going, too, because we already talked about that. But death natural, that body's going to die. It ends up, it ends an earthly life. Remember, we talked about that. Every time a body dies, it ends an earthly life. But Christ delivers from it. Christ delivers from a natural death. I mean, your body's going to die, but it's not going to affect your soul if you've received Jesus as your Savior. You say, is it really that big a deal? It is the deal. It is everything. I remember whenever I was in a church one time and a pastor was coming to the point, I guess some people were aggravating him about this Bible business and the versions and the translations and the blabbity, 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 blob and all that kind of garbage. But before, he was teaching and preaching out of nothing but the authorized text, the authorized version, the King James Bible. And I guess some people was bugging him or something like that. And somehow the devil got that mess in that church, and he had to confront it. And he stood up there and he said, when I get back from this conference I'm going to, we're going to make a decision. We're going to stick to it. And he come back. And he stood up on that pulpit and he said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to use the King James Bible. And I sat down there and I said, amen. And he looked dead at me, staring right in front of the whole church. And he said, but we're not going to make a big deal out of it. Let me tell you something. That was 20, 25 years ago. And I still disagree with him. And the only thing I'm sorry about is I didn't get up and get my daughter and walk out of there right then. Because you know what I found out in 25 years is that it's the same way I thought when the Lord was teaching me, God the Holy Ghost was teaching me to begin with. He's the one that was wrong about that. He said, if you think you're saved by that Bible, you're lost, man. Well, I'm going to let him deal with the Lord in there because it's his soul he got to deal with the Lord about, because that Bible says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. which liveth and abideth forever. I'm going to believe the book. And to me, it is the big deal. And to God, it is the big deal. Because depending on what you do with that book and them words in that book, depending on what you do with them words is where you're going to end up for eternity. Now, is that a big deal to you? It is to me. You make your choice. My choice is the same. I'm sticking with the book. And when I say the book, I'm talking about God's Word. God's Word. Not some translation, not some this, not some that. Well, we wish it was perfect. We wish it was... My God's Word is perfect. It's been perfect ever since He saved me. Ever since He introduced me to that Bible. Ever since He convicted me with that Bible. Ever since He saved me and regenerated me and has been teaching me out of that book ever since. It's been perfect and no confusion about it, not one bit. I hear people have got a lot of confusion about it, fighting amongst each other and all that kind of gobbledygook, and I don't get involved in it. I'm not even going to argue with them. I'm staking my soul on what the Lord saved me with. And you ought to do the same. Death naturally, you know, some escaped from it. We're talking about the body. Some did escape from it. And some are going to escape from death and not going to have to go through death. And well, we're talking about death, the natural body. The natural body. Some people's body is just going to be changed. Everybody that goes to hell, now I say this because that's what the scripture, if there's any mystery about it that God's not revealed, that's His mystery. But everybody that dies unsaved and unregenerated and not in the Lord goes through death. I've not heard anybody going straight to hell without leaving the body. I'm not sure. Dathan might have, when the Lord had the earth open up and swallow up him and his family. But I don't know. But I ain't interested. I ain't going that direction. I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to be with the Lord. And as far as death naturally, we're going to die, and the body is going to die. It's going to go to sleep. And we're going to leave and go be with the Lord unless the Lord intercedes with that. Okay? All right. Moving right along. We've seen now. We're recapping and just kind of going over this stuff. Death naturally illustrates regeneration. And naturally, all are going to be raised from it. Everybody. Saved and lost. Saved and lost. All right? Now, that's what the Bible says. And then we talked about death naturally and how the Bible describes it. It describes it as the return to dust and the removal of some people's breath. God takes your breath away. He said He takes the breath and you die. And that's the bottom line. Somebody hold a pillow over your face and even if it ain't God stops your breath, you die. It's a stop of the breath's taken away. That's it. Death naturally is described as becoming naked. Becoming naked. In other words, you put off the body. You don't have a covering for your body, for your soul. You don't have a covering for your soul until the Lord gives it back to you. Okay? Death is described as sleeping. As sleeping naturally. Death naturally is described as a departure. It's also described as yielding up the ghost. You didn't know you was a ghost, did you? Back behind your eyes, next time you're in that mirror, look back behind them eyes. You're in there. You're in there. All right, and then we recognize some things after death, naturally. That departed saints are recognized by the living after death. It's a shame you got to die for people to recognize you, ain't it? But that's what it is. That's the way it is. Oh, guess what? That's one thing the news loves to do. They love to report about people's deaths. You don't hear much about people being born, but you hear a whole bunch about it. They got an obituary, but they ain't got a birth section anymore. They used to have one. They ain't got a birth section. So let's get on into this part of death eternal. This will be the last bit of study on this. And rightfully so. There's nothing else to talk about. We talked about the death of the saints, the death of the wicked, and that's the only two classes of people in the Scripture. You're either lost or saved. You're either dead or alive. You're either light or darkness. I mean, that's the way polarities. And that's not what the world's trying to do. They're trying to mix it all up where you have a bunch of mixed up spotted chocolate, white and chocolate and everything. Yeah, I'm just all kind of mixed up in one goo, one big gooey society. That's what they did to the Tower of Babel, remember? God told them, be fruitful and multiply and spread out. Get away from one another. High fences make good neighbors. But that ain't what they did. What did they do? They stayed right there in one place. All of them spoke the same language. All of them stayed right there in one place until God mixed their languages up where they couldn't understand one another. So what did they do then? They went with the people that they could understand. And they built that big old tower. And guess what? They're still building towers. The Twin Towers. And over there in India, they're supposed to have the tallest one now. Who builds it? I mean, that's what a country's a people's it still is. It still represents the people is how tall the towers are. Man's still trying to build the tallest tower that'll reach up into heaven. Still trying to do that, and stupid enough not even to see it. Death eternal is what we're going to talk about now. Death eternal. Well, what is death eternal described as in the Scriptures? Well, death eternal is described as everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Thurman? Well, the Bible says it. God says it in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. The Bible says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Two different polarities there. One going one place, one going another place. Death eternal is described as everlasting punishment. Now you might say that's a long time to be punished. It's not time. It's eternity. Did you get that? Time has a beginning and an ending. Eternity does not. One other thing to notice is that it's punishment. Everlasting punishment. Did you hear the verse? And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment dispensed by the Lord. Personally. The Bible does not hide in a corner declaring these things. It don't. But it's open and matter-of-fact concerning them. Anybody can pick up the Bible and read that. Everlasting punishment is not a joking matter, and no matter who you are. And a bunch of drunks sit around, have your drunk parties, and I used to be involved in all that mess until the Lord gave me better sense. Praise His name. It ain't no joking matter. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We used to be in that condition. Remember? But we're not in that condition anymore. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to, listen to this, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You didn't know that was in there, did you? And the Lord didn't put no apology in there. The Lord doesn't apologize for what He says. And His declarations either. If He declares something to be and that it's going to be and it's going to happen, you better comply, my friend. If you have any kind of inkling, even the smallest bit of doubt, that you think God could be and this could be true, you're a fool for not getting saved. Because if you ask God to save you, He'll save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you end up in God's courtroom being sentenced to be punished, you're a fool. Death eternal is not only described as eternal punishment, it's described as the resurrection of damnation. The resurrection of damnation. John chapter 5 and verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, that's not talking about your good works. That's talking about a completely different thing. And we'll talk about that some other time. That's when you start getting into the meat of the word. But we're talking about the... remember what we're talking about right now. This is during a time of works that the Lord Jesus said, and He was saying it to the Jews, and talking about tribulation period and all different kinds of things. You're in the period of grace. That's what you are. You're going to live and you're going to die in the period of grace, unless the Lord comes tomorrow and you're not saved. But if you're born again, you don't have to worry about that. But what the truth of the verse is, the matter of fact of the verse, what the Lord said is going to happen, says they're going to shall come forth, and those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3 says, And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It's coming. It's coming. The Lord said it's on the way. The train's coming down the track. Here it comes. It's coming. What are you going to do about it? You ain't got to do nothing about it if you accept Jesus. You ain't got to worry about it. Except that you know God's going to do this for the people that are damned. To the people that are damned. That ought to concern us. And it does concern us, doesn't it? If it wasn't for God's grace, that could have been us. Praise His wonderful name for His grace and Him sticking to His word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called upon His name, He saved me, and He ain't going to take it away from me. And I praise Him for that also. Don't you? What else is death eternally described as? Well, it's described as not only God's wrath and eternal punishment, but it's described as destruction. That's a whole bunch different than sleeping in Jesus in peace, ain't it? It's described, and I'm talking about what the Bible says, not what I think or not what some movie star thinks or not what some theatrical blabbity-blab thinks. It's what God says. Now, He's either right, and the Bible's telling us the truth, and I believe I know it is. If you want to hear what I got to say, get saved and put your trust in what that book says, because that's where it's going to end up. And there ain't no man that can save you. The Lord said you don't even have power to keep your spirit whenever in the day of death. You can't even hold your spirit back in the day of death. The Lord said you can't even make one of your hairs white or black. Unless you go down there and hit up Clairol or somebody. But naturally, you can't do it. You can't even make yourself grow. You can't make yourself shrink. But you say that you can make yourself stay out of hell if it's real? Yeah? That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible describes death eternal as destruction in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1 and verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God and true. 2 Thessalonians. Oh, I'm getting a little mixed up here. Hold on, let me get my verses right. I think I got something wrong. Hold on just a minute. Ah, there we go. Okay. All right. No, it's 2 Thessalonians 1:9 is what it is. It says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Death is described as destruction. The Lord says that who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Who else do you know that would write something like that in a book? Even as a joke. People don't joke about stuff like that. The Bible tells you you're going to hell. It tells you that you're going to be punished by a God that's supernatural, that has the power to do it. Where else have you heard that? Not even any of the movie makers say stuff like that. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 12 says, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. I don't know about you, but I ain't never heard nobody talk like that until I got affiliated with the Lord, until the Lord became my God, or rather are accepted of him, the scripture says. Yeah. And what else? Death eternally is not only described as destruction, but it's described as God's wrath. God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Praise the Lord for us. Praise the Lord for him, that he saved us, that we don't have to be involved in any of his wrath. And that's the time of the tribulation, the time of eternity for the ungodly and the wicked that have turned down his Son and his salvation. And everybody that has died in a manner that the Lord said you better not die. But the Lord has given every soul that has went into eternity a chance not to have to die that way, but a chance to be with him. Everybody. There's not one exception. Death eternally is described as God's wrath. Listen to John 3:36. New Testament to the Christian. The gospel of the grace of God. Listen to what the Lord says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Not going to abide on him, it abides on him now. God's wrath is on every unsaved person on this planet. God's not willing that they perish, but because of their rejection of the Son of God, God's wrath is on them, and he's holding himself back from giving them what he wants. He says they deserve. That's what's going on. It's by God's grace he ain't already stomped them and put them in hell. The Lord Jesus said, fear not him which killeth the body and hath no more that he can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear.
fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. There's your soul and there's your body. In Romans chapter 2, listen to what the Bible says. We're talking about that death eternally is described as God's wrath. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The Bible talks quite a bit about wrath. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? The only reason that God's wrath hadn't been poured out on mankind and his rebellious nature and his sin-stricken being is because of God's grace. God wants everybody to be saved that can possibly be saved. And he's long-suffering, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and everybody, and hopefully you won't die before you get another chance. Because if by some reason a horse kicks you in the head and kills you, too late, too bad. And you know the devil's doing all he can to try to kill you. It says he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Death eternally is described as destruction. It's described as the wrath of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The Bible also says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17 and 14 verse 10, the Bible says, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Anybody can listen to this and reject Jesus Christ, you are a fool. You can choose to not believe any of this. But I hope you do. I hope you don't. I hope you believe every word of it, because it's true and it is coming to pass. And once you're in eternity, it's too late. Death is described as, death eternally is described as a second death. A second death. The Bible says, remember we talked about that those that are saved, the resurrection, the first resurrection, and when the Lord has resurrected everybody that has his righteousness, the ones that's been born again, the ones that were born again in the tribulation, the Old Testament saints that were righteous, all of them, when they all come and the Lord gets everybody up there, that's called the first resurrection. And the Bible says that the second death has no power over those that are in the first resurrection. The second death only applies to everybody that's lost. that die eternally. Death eternally. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. First death is your body. Second death is your soul. And you don't cease to exist. You're put in the lake of fire to be punished with God's wrath on you for eternity. That's not a place you want to be. All right. What else? Some truths regarding death eternally. What's the Bible say about some truths that regard death eternally? Well, a truth of death eternity is that it's also, again, the consequence of man's sin. Did you notice how that's consequent, that man's sin is just in every category? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 through 19, it says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That's why men die. For as by one man sin entered into the world. There you go, right there. The Lord just explained it to you. You want to know why people die and why death is? There it is. Because God declared it. Adam was never going to die until he ate of that tree and disobeyed God, and death fell upon him, the Bible says. And the Lord said, you're going back to the dust. And then he made plans to save us for eternity. Isn't that wonderful? But death eternally is a consequence of man's sin. What else? A truth in the Bible is that death eternally is a consequence of man's sin. It's also is the punishment of the wicked. A truth of death eternally is the punishment of the wicked. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1, Jude 1, verse 13 through 15, raging waves of the sea foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Then a truth of death eternally, according to the scriptures, is that it's the punishment of the wicked. What else? A truth of death eternally is being separated from God. And there's a lot of people teaching this thing about that the second death is just simply being separated from a God, eternal separation from God, rather than punishment, and rather than pain, and rather than gnashing of teeth. It's just separation from God, and that's a big, fat lie. Because that's not what the Bible teaches. And we've been going over this for five lessons now. Have you heard God say, anywhere in the scripture where the Lord said, I'm mad at you and my wrath's on you and I'm going to put you away forever and you're not ever going to get to come around me again?
No, he said, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to burn you for eternity. The truth of death eternally is being separated from God, though. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's in conclusion or in addition. Who shall be punished? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? And in addition to that, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Don't let nobody fool you. It's not just being away from God, which would be bad enough to not be without. I wouldn't want to be in the flesh on this earth 1 second without Him. Would you? The truth of death eternally is being separated from God. That's not all. The truth of death eternally is Christ saves from it. All this that we're going through and all these things that out of all the things that human beings count as terrible and can't believe that that happened and this and that, and how wow, that's just so bad. But they can't visualize an immortal God that created man, and everything makes sense in His book, that all men are affected by on this planet. They can't visualize how bad it is that He talks about that He's going to burn them. Or won't visualize it. And the Bible says that Christ died for that. Why won't you accept Christ? A truth of death eternally, according to the Scriptures that we've been reading about God's wrath being a truth and God's punishment being a truth and eternity being a truth, is also says that Christ saves from it. The Bible says in John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world, past tense, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son one time, that whosoever believeth in Him throughout all the time on this earth, all men that pass through a body, all souls that pass through a body that's on this earth, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What else? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? Because you're already condemned. Jesus, if Jesus had not come, you would be condemned. Jesus came to save you from being condemned, that you're condemned already. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You get that? God wants to save you and wants to save everybody you bump shoulders with and all them souls back behind them eyeballs. He wants to save them. But Jesus is not coming to die again. He died once for all men. You want it? Here it is. You don't? Suffer the consequences. That's the truth. That's what the book says. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 through 58 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What else is the truth of death eternally? Well, is that the saints are going to escape from it. The saints are going to escape from it. Praise His wonderful name. I ain't got to even worry about it. I'm sitting here talking to you, and we're having this study and talking about death and going over what God's Word says, and I'm not worried about it. Are you? I'm not worried about me. I know where I'm going. I know what the book says. I know what God says, and I know God didn't lie to me. He ain't lied to me for 42 years. That's when I met Him, over in Germany, in Rhineland Baptist Church. And wherever you met Him, He ain't never left you either, has He? Praise His wonderful name. Only God could do that. Be with you and be with me at the same time. But death eternally, a truth of death eternally, is that the saints are going to escape from it. Listen to this in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's where we're going. That's what it says, isn't it? Praise His wonderful name. We have hope, brothers and sisters. And one truth about death eternally is that saints shall escape from it. And that's the whole idea that Christ came, is so you could escape. Look for the escape. You're sitting in a theater, and when you go in there to watch a movie, and all them seats in there, and you sit down, and everything's black and everything else, and all you can see is just that real dim light on that screen up there, and you're sitting there and dropping popcorn all over the place and everything else, and everybody gets in there and sitting, and the movie comes on, and you're watching it, and then all of a sudden, you start smelling something, and the screen goes out, and a big old fire starts coming out and burning that screen and everything, and it just engulfs that whole theater. What do you start doing? What are you doing from right now? You're not interested in no popcorn. You're not interested in your drink. You're not interested in watching that movie and how you lost your money and didn't get to see the rest of the movie. There's a fire going on. And what are you interested in doing? You're interested in looking for them little red lights that are over those doors that says exit. You're looking for the escape. If you ain't never been told in your entire life about Jesus Christ, you just have been told about Him through this study of death. God's not willing that you die and that you perish, but He'll let you. And He made a way out for you. You better take Him serious. But as for the saint, the truth of death eternally is that saints are going to escape from it. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born into the family of God, and you are a child of God and a saint. You're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint that sins as long as you're in the body. When you get out of that body, you're not going to ever sin again. And one more. The truth of death eternally is how the Lord Jesus Christ vividly described it. Now, what do you mean by vivid? Well, He called it forth. He made it appear lifelike, like images in your mind. The Lord told of something that happened in the past, and He brought it to lifelike images in your mind in the Scriptures about something that happened in the past. A truth of death eternally is how the Lord Jesus Christ vividly described it. You say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Thurman? I'm talking about what we started this study out for the death of the wicked. It's in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 21. And that's the last thing we're going to read in this study of death. We've studied death all the way through this thing. And we've seen what God says about death. We know we're going to die. We know what's going to die. We know how it's going to die. We know where we're going to go when our bodies do die. We know what dies. We know what gets buried, what does not get buried, who goes in the grave, who does not go in the grave, who goes to hell, who does not go to hell. We know who goes to heaven and who does not go to heaven. We know who gets punished and who does not get punished. We know all this stuff about death, and death wraps around every bit of it, doesn't it? Funny we could just study the word death. I never hear anybody in the newspaper or magazines or anybody's ever written any stuff like this to assure people that they're not going to die. And I've never heard anybody try to make anybody think about death. They only write about, unless they're having their little theatrical illusions about a man doing something to keep people from dying and the heroes doing all this kind of stuff. Well, there's no superheroes in the flesh except one, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the true indeed Superman. He's God in the flesh, and he has the power. He's the only one that was ever in the flesh that had power to back up what he says he's going to do and what his Father has said. Listen to this. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Do you believe anybody's ever risen from the dead? The Bible speaks of one, Jesus Christ, that he rose from the dead. His body did not corrupt. He rose from the dead, and he led captivity captive, and he won salvation, eternal salvation for every person. But you're not going to get it on your terms. You're going to get it on the Lord's terms. It was his blood. And there's no way for you to save yourself. You're headed for all of this stuff that we talked about in this study of death. And if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to pay for it, not Christ. Jesus Christ has paid for my sins. His righteousness is on me by his grace. I'm a saint because of him, and I'm in the family of God, and I'm a son of God, and so are you if you're born again. That's what the Bible says. And I know that in my heart and in my soul. Do you? If you don't, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Just like all the rest of us. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, or with the mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I heard 42 years ago. And it has stuck true the entire time. God's never changed his mind. And he's been teaching me ever since that his word is true. And he's never confused me. Nor has he confused you. If you've ever been confused about anything, it's because of the enemy. God's word does not, God is not the author. What's an author? Somebody writes his words down in a book. God is not the author of confusion. When the Lord tells us things and teaches us things, they're plain and simple and very understandable, just like this study of death. You never thought you could know so much about death, did you? It's incredible. And it's good news for those that love the Lord. And those that will accept his son and have accepted his son. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Do you hear what the Bible said? You don't have the power to keep your own soul. To keep your own spirit, to retain your own spirit. When the day of your death comes, your spirit's going to leave and go back to God that gave it, and you're leaving that body. This concludes our study of what the Holy Scriptures say about death. Thank you for honoring the Lord and studying His Word. We've learned quite a bit, haven't we? What have we learned? We've learned that there's nothing to fear about death to the ones that are the Lord's, Old Testament or New Testament. The Lord has made it very clear for them that love Him, death only brings better things. And He is right there for us when and if we have to approach it. What else have we learned? We've learned there is no immediate death or transitional or intermediate death or transitional death in between the death of the saved and the death of the wicked. One or the other is how every person goes if they have to pass through it. There's no intermediate death or transitional death. You don't get to put time in and get good, get to go to heaven. You don't get a sentence to hell and a sentence to the lake of fire and then get out of it. Except while you're in the body and have a chance right now, right here, right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to be saved, you won't be ashamed to call upon His name and ask Him to save you. And the Lord said, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You say, well, how do I know if I believe right? Will you call on Him? The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, that you believe Him and that you shall be saved if you call on His name to save you. Whose name? Jesus Christ. Simple. What else have we learned? A death for an unsaved person and the wicked is going to be a frightening and terrifying thing. There will be no discussions of the fates of those. They not only will be considered the eternal enemies of God, but will be punished without relief by the Lord's doing. There will be nothing good or comfortable about the wicked's death or afterwards. The reality of it, when it comes, will be scary beyond words. Do not die this way. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Does it get any plainer than that? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 7 says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. All you Hare Krishnas, all you Mohammedans, and with the 70 virgins, all you this and that and the other, I'm not making fun of you. I'm telling you, the Bible says that you got an expectation that is going to perish. God has told you what's going to happen very plainly, very clearly about this study, this matter of death. And if you are going to go on the expectation that you're going to, that all these other stories and all these other things that you've been taught and that nobody can prove and it's not written down anywhere, that's going to keep you from all this trouble, they're lying to you. But it's your choice. Don't be fooled. The Lord said plainly that it is the unseen things that are eternal. He also said that we can see the invisible things by the things that are made. Death is coming. Do you know anyone that has died? Probably. Have they come back? No. Have they written you to tell you tell you as a matter of fact what death is or what to expect? No, they haven't. You know, there's only one of two ways to think right now. Either rejoice or either be afraid. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8, there is no man that hath the power over that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Amen. And that's all we got to say about death. That's all we need to say, isn't it? A very thorough and the study of polarities, really. The old cartoons were right. Heaven and hell, up and down, left or right, salt or pepper, black or white. Don't be fooled, brothers and sisters. Don't be fooled if you're not saved. If you're listening to this and you're not saved, you need to get saved. And I say that from Christ's love and from the authority of the Scriptures, of God's words, that does not lie and will keep His word for you, word true to you for eternity. Amen? All right. And as far as you brothers and sisters go, you don't have nothing to worry about, do you? Not one thing. Be encouraged. Death is a wonderful thing. Sleeping in Jesus. Peace. And going to be with the Lord. So we'll stop right there. And we'll talk about something else on our next study. And I thank you for joining in. And I hope that you've learned quite a bit. And I encourage you to go back over to all those scriptures. Speaking of that, let me give you the scriptures that we talked about today. Before we finish, you probably already have them written down, but be sure to go back, and it's important for you to have all these. Listen, if you don't have these studies and you don't have the scriptures written down, I've got all this stuff on paper. If you want it, you email me, and I'll send it to you, okay? Or write me a letter, and I'll send it to you. Whatever
you want. If you want them, they're already here and they're written down. You don't have to do nothing. You have all the scriptures and you have all the study, and that's what these studies are, is ones that I've put together by God's grace, and we just go right down through the pages. And you could listen to one of these studies and you go right down to the page and fill in the blanks, and you could see that. If you want them, you're welcome to them. If not, that's fine too. Here's the scriptures. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. John chapter 5, verse 29. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 3, verse 36. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 and 8, and then chapter 5 and verse 9, and then chapter 9 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17, and chapter 14, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Jude 1. 13 and 15, 13 through 15, excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 3, 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 through 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 through 58. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24. And Proverbs chapter 11, verse 7. And there you go. Lots and lots of scripture. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters, is sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's God's word that makes what we believe. Why do you believe what you believe? Because God said so. How do you know? Because we study God's word. That's why. And we believe. That's it. Okay? So there's your study of death. Praise the Lord. God is so honest with us, isn't he? The Lord is so honest with us. And there's no confusion. You've been through this entire study, and you've not been confused one thing concerning all the different avenues that we went down concerning death. Have you? No, you haven't. No confusion with the Lord. And how is that? Because we studied his word. You got all the verses that back up everything that we talked about what's going to happen to anybody when they die. Right? Amen. All right. Well, be encouraged, brothers and sisters. And I thank you for joining in, as always. And I enjoy studying with you. And I admire you for honoring our Lord. Well, we'll start another study pretty soon. Hope you'll join in. And we'll learn some more about what our God's will is and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.